Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel for all of our latest streams, including Alex Dono's show every day at noon. That's called the Dono Daily. And catch FiveReasonsSports.com. Spell that one out for no paywall content on South Florida sports. Thanks to our great sponsors, including our friends over at Therapist Preferred. If you're looking for CBD, this is where you go. All the products made here in the United States, founded in 2019 by a physical therapist to optimize performance. It helps you with recovery quite a bit. I use it for sleep. I think I've mentioned that many times here. You can get the tincture. You can get the gummies. The strawberry lemonade gummies are my favorite, but they've got a lot there on the site. Use the code 5REASONS. That's the number 5 and reasons. At therapistpreferred.com, you get 25% off your order and free shipping. They get it out to you quickly, usually within a few days. So check it out, therapistpreferred.com. That's therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5REASONS. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscay.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Greg Sylvander back on Five on the Floor. Today's floor plan, we are throwing the floor plan out the window. This is Michael Beasley taking over the podcast. This is Smush Parker taking over the podcast. This is Antoine Walker taking over the podcast. We are not running sets. We are going up and down the court as fast as possible and chucking up as many three-point shots as viable. I am your host for today, Greg Sylvander. You can follow me on Twitter at Greg Sylvander. No Ethan Skolnick. That's why we're going a little bit off the cuff here. But with me is Alex Toledo, who can be followed at Tropical Blanket on Twitter. And we also have the young prodigy himself, Brady Hawk. I think it's Brady Hawk 305. Yeah, so that's where you'll find him on Twitter. And he writes, countless articles for 5reasonsports.com. So truthfully, though, today's floor plan, we want to touch on these on this battle for this final two-way spot. I think that this podcast in particular, we have neglected this fringe activity that's going on at the very end of the roster. So I want to address some of that and get into who is a two-way player and who isn't and who's battling. So we'll touch on that. And then we'll close with some heartfelt good stuff. But where I want to start is the player that we know is going to be a two-way contract guy for Miami this season. And that's, I think a lot of us predicted this, right? And that's Marcus Garrett. Brady, I'm going to start with you because you've had the breakdowns, and I think you've actually written about Marcus specifically. What have you seen from him that should get us excited? I know that he was a guy that we wanted, you know, the fan base was behind getting him as a two-way player. What do you like most about him?
Yeah, I just don't think we've seen a player in that realm go undrafted and be that solid defensively this soon. There wasn't really an area of his game that was neglected on that end of the floor. He was running baseline to baseline, pressing, not letting guys who had the ball breathe. He was running off of screens, not getting it impacted, just out of pick and rolls, off the ball. He was really sound. He's quick. He's lengthy. It's just everything you like in a defensive player. And I think people were like, if he's that great defensively, why did he go undrafted? And I think the answer is that it's just the offensive stuff is just in question. But that's just the Miami Heat way. You've seen them do it with guys like Casey Okpala. They're going to take a chance on guys, and they don't really need a lot from them offensively. You just need an efficient three-point shot, just being a 3-and-D guy. So, and his jumper, you know, maybe not, it doesn't fall frequently. It didn't look too bad in summer league. Like, it looks, there's some guys on this team and the summer league team that their jumpers look a little different, that his was actually pretty smooth, that I think they could do something with it. Just so if he can be an efficient shooter, work on his offensive game a little bit, and just continue to be a guy they can plug and play, throw in there and try to make a headache of a matchup and throw him on some guys, I think it makes sense. So I think from the first game, we kind of predicted he was going to be a two-way guy just because of what we've seen immediately.
Yeah, and you talk about plug and play. Like, the cool thing about these two-way players, and Miami will utilize this probably as much as any team, they did last year and they'll do it again this year, is this, on a two-way deal, you're eligible to play 50 of the 82 games. Alex, should Heat fans be gearing up for early Marcus Garrett minutes in the season as we get closer? I mean, I know it's a long time away. There's training camp, there's preseason, there's so much basketball to be played, but a guy that's being put in this position now, you know he's going to be available for 50 of the 82. You think that we'll see him 50 of those 82?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they do use him and just kind of, you know, use him as somebody, as an innings eater, like we talked about before, especially if he stands out now during training camp, preseason specifically. If they really love him over some of these other guys that we're going to talk about, then yeah, I think like if somebody's going to play from one of these guys, it's probably going to be him, especially because they have the guard depth in question. Like, let's say they start off playing a lot of Strus and Vincent relative to maybe what we thought, and one or two of those guys are just not playing great. Maybe that's the type of scenario where they can throw in Marcus Garrett. He would be my one guy who I would pick to play. Like, and I know the summer league, it's not a big sample. There were guys playing in some games, some guys not playing in others. So it's not exactly a consistent sample either. But, and the offensive stuff is definitely, I think, the concern that kept him out of being drafted, like Brady said. But he's kind of got a game that's tailor-made for a guy to just kind of have a low – yeah, you know, a smaller role on offense, just kind of take a couple threes a game, score off a cut or two, you know, but he's mostly just there to be a great defender and nothing else, because that's his one elite skill for sure.
I mean, Marcus Garrett is definitely, I would say, the guy who's most ready to play for sure. I think that you're right. He's an innings eater that can, at least they know that they can't, that he can stay in front of somebody, right? And like, so if there's anything that they're going to allow a guy to work through and take his lumps early in a season, it's either going to be if he's a knockout shooter that provides that skill set, they'll live with some of the defensive deficiencies that sometimes come with those guys, or if you're a solid defender the way Garrett is, I think that he can get minutes early. But pivoting to the next guy, and I'm only going to go here because he is the player that got the Exhibit 10 contract the soonest of the newest players, and that's DJ Stewart, Mississippi State guard. And I think that this is another one where I would be remiss if I didn't just pass the ball to Brady here, because I haven't seen a ton of DJ Stewart. The signing came out of nowhere for me in terms of what he can bring. I haven't got the chance to watch him very much, so it was a little bit of a surprise. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, actually on the night when they were actually signing these undrafted guys, that was kind of the guy that stood out to me. I kind of felt like he would be the one that would end up getting a two-way, just because of they were going after a bunch of point guards. We're going to go across this list. There's a couple that we're going to talk about next. They kind of had a specific skill where DJ Stewart was the one guy that didn't have that. He's more of a 2-3 than a 1, and he's not a facilitating defender that lacks scoring. He's just the scorer. As we continue to talk about this second two-way, the wing score, I think we can all agree, is probably the the position that they should get. This team, that's probably the one area that you're kind of looking at. If they want to plug somebody in, you kind of want somebody that could score at all three levels, give you some buckets, hopefully, and try to move on. DJ Stewart can probably be that guy. One of the major areas of his game in college was he was basically playing from the elbow, just very good in the mid-range. He was like inserting at the elbow and playing from there, able to attack from there. He's a different type of player. He's not one of those guys that comes out and just shooting, catch and shoot threes, pull up threes. I think that three can develop. We didn't see it a lot, even in summer league. But I think it can come, and just having that mid-range and driving game, I think is good enough. So if you're looking for a scorer, and I think they are, I think it's kind of a tell how soon they grabbed him, because that's just kind of a tell for what they needed. It was a position they needed. It's a guy that he didn't get a ton of playing time. Like, he had some spot starts. I felt like you'd see more of him, but I feel like that may be a kind of a plan. I don't know if that would be it, but I think it might've been planned that they want to try to get a longer look at him in training camp. They locked him up early, and then we'll see what he can do. But obviously, if the three ball can come along consistently with the other two things, then I think he's pretty close to a lock for that second two-way.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that in terms of him being a lock, considering just some of the other guys that we'll get to here in a second. But I do agree that from a physical profile and a positional profile, he's the guy that probably makes the most sense. Alex, how do you balance that when you know you need this type of player in the pipeline? But maybe he may, you know, and I don't know that this is the case with DJ Stewart, so I could be talking a little bit out of turn, but like, when you have a guy that maybe is a little bit more raw and will take a little bit longer, but he really fits the mold, how do you balance that versus getting a guy that's going to be able to help you when they actually can play 50 games? You know what I mean? Like, from your perspective, how do they balance that?
Yeah, so Brady's take right there that he's going to be, you know, he's not far from being a lock for that second spot actually kind of surprised me, because I haven't really heard that much. And I know Brady's done extensive writing on all of these guys here, but it makes sense. Like, just listening to you guys talk about it, it's the scoring wing is another guy that they would want to develop. And they do have another roster spot there. If you're already kind of going to be relying on Vincent Struess, if you think Marcus Garrett is a little bit more ready to play some spot minutes now, you've got Omer there. Like, maybe that is a good idea, right? You got another project wing to add to Casey Ogpala. Max Struess, who's going to be playing some. I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, I'm a little bit more reserved on how I feel about him because of the lack of playing time, or, you know, the lack of consistent playing time. He has the physical capabilities of somebody who looks like an NBA player. And like Brady said, he's more, you know, he plays more inside the arc. So it's a little bit weird how to project for him. He was definitely pretty good in college from what I've seen. I saw some highlights, some stats, you know, very basic stuff. Nothing like what Brady has done, of course. But I think he's somebody that if the Heat did pick him up that early, like, that's something, like Brady said, they've been wanting to do. You know, if they pick somebody up that early, it's because they like him. So I'm definitely willing to see how he plays in preseason and just go from there.
I think you guys are onto something. Like, they're probably caught wind that another team was about to scoop him up, and there were certain guys they were okay letting get scooped up. Like, I know Indy grabbed a guy, and there's a few other players that ended up elsewhere that Heat fans had their eyes on, but this was a guy that they locked into that Exhibit 10 contract. And just to let the listeners know, when a player is signed to that contract, that means that they get an invitation to training camp, but also what comes with that is an extension to the G League team in Sioux Falls. So it essentially keeps the team keeps the player in the team's pipeline and in their system and around their coaches and around their culture, keyword. So that, you know, came with DJ Stewart right off the top. The next guy is the guy who I said was probably the dark horse candidate for the second two-way contract. I think I tweeted that, and people have taken that as some sort of intel-based thing, and that's not really it. It's that I think that the Heat are ultimately going to try to maybe go for a need here in a way that I don't love, and that's looking at Mr. Micah Potter, a 6'10 center out of Wisconsin. He played for the summer league team. I think he was in both Sacramento and Vegas, if I remember correctly. But he was a player that had his moments, but overall, I think a lot of people want more upside from a player. But I have a feeling that maybe Miami sees him as somebody who could take some spot front court minutes early in the season, just to like bridge the gap for some stretch of time. Alex, I'm pivoting back to you quickly. What is your thoughts on Micah Potter? Is this a guy that you like for the second two-way spot? Are you feeling it at all? Or is this a hard pass from you?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his game. You know, willing to give it a shot. From what I did see, and, you know, I'm definitely not a scout. You know, I haven't watched a whole lot of Michael Potter, but that's also for a reason. I wasn't that impressed from him from what I saw. I'm not trying to hate on him or anything like that. I just think he's kind of like this shooting big who, I don't know, like, I don't think he has much of anything in the way of rebounding defense. What I did see, I just wasn't that big of a fan. So, look, if he does make the team, that says something. That says something because that means he beat out other guys. So I would definitely be impressed then. I just haven't seen much of him yet to really say much of anything positive, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, this is where I'm at.
He fits a shooting big mold. That's what I will say.
This is where I'm at with this guy. Like, if he makes the team, it's because he has six hard fouls, and he also will have the ability to have the perfect face to be elbowed consistently on a West Coast trip or something like that. I read, I think it was in the Herald, so it was Barry Jackson or our friend Anthony Chang that said. So I'm pulling this from them. He shot 47% from threes in Big Ten games last season. Brady, is there any upside to this guy as like a stretch big? Like, I feel like we're both down on him as a player overall, and maybe that's unnecessarily, but can you talk us into Micah Potter, or is this not happening?
I do want to say, when you bring up upside, all three of these guys we're going to discuss next, I feel like the Heat went high floor more than high ceiling, and I think that's what they always do. Most teams go high ceiling as a developmental project. They want to see where they can go with it. I feel like this team, when they're in win now mode, they're going to utilize them, as we said before. So they're going to find guys that can at least play right now. And I think these guys kind of fit that. But Micah Potter, I think talking about him in need, I want to say first that this Heat team basically did a whole flip in roster construction, that they were very heavy in the backcourt before, and now they're very heavy in the front court. You know, they got PJ Tucker and Bam. You have Morris and Deadman off the bench. You have Yurtseven that's going to be plugged in. They're hopeful that Kaze Okpala can be up next, that I feel like they are so heavy there that it would be, I feel like he'd have to wow them in training camp to get that spot. But I think there is upside there in terms of his scoring. I think most people kind of immediately look to the Myers Leonard type of play, where he's a drop big that is not the quickest defender. He can pop out for three. I think he has more gadgets in his game where he's a post player. That it was a bit surprising. He has a good mid-range game. That was also surprising. It's just being a center that you're going to plug next to Bam. Omer Yurtseven had flashes where you can totally see it.
Yeah,
I just can't really see it enough that he's not enough of a rim protector and enough of just an overall quick defender that, and also rebounding. I feel like just to make sure the rebounding thing, he's not a great rebounder, that it's going to be a bit tough, but obviously the offensive stuff could come along. He could become, you know, a very good weapon offensively as a popper and just as a post threat. And I've been saying before with Omer, that's the two parts of Bam's game that he doesn't really have right now, as a post game and a 3-point shot. So if they're going to look for a big, it's going to be one that has those two attributes. So he's falls under that category. So I do think this is just one of those guys that comes down to training camp. Maybe they could develop him, as you said, down the line in G League, they could see what kind of happens. But other than that, I just feel like it's not as much team need as some of these other guys are.
Yeah, man. If you're talking about Myers Leonard with gadgets, it's time for us to go to break.
We'll get back to our episode in a second. Before we do, we'll talk about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This is our daily fantasy partner, and they're at prizepicks.com. You can download the app. You can go to prizepicks.com. Enter the code 5 when you sign up. You will get your initial deposit match. They've got great promotions all the time. This is an easy, easy game to play, and they've made it easier. You can actually, finally, I've been waiting for this, you can play players from the same team. So say you like Tua and Waddle, you can pair them together. You can go over, you can go under. You can pair 2, 3, 4, 5 players together. You can pair them together from different sports. You want to pair a golfer with a baseball player? You could do that. So go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, that's F-I-V-E. It is legal to play this in Florida. A lot of people have asked us. Yes, it is. You can play Prize Picks in Florida. So go to prizepicks.com, use the code 5. And now, back to the episode.
All right, welcome back to 5 on the Floor. We are exploring, Greg Sylvander here, by the way. I'm never as clean at this as Ethan is, but we are exploring all of these candidates.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake. with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly. So I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's for the last two-way contract on the Miami Heat, so we are really digging deep. This is a culture-filled episode because we are getting to the very end of the roster. We talked about three guys at the open here that are a little bit, maybe we feel are more secure in their standing on the roster, or maybe not, but we're going to focus on these last two guys that are on deals to come to training camp. And the first guy I want to get into, bear with me here as I get to his numbers, is Javonte Smart. Is that how his name is pronounced? Okay. 6'4" guard. They got a lot of guys out of the SEC. I mean, I know that this was a guy that he led the SEC in 3-point shooting. Didn't really show that in summer league. Like when I was thinking of him as a shooter and when I watched him, I don't know that that's how I came away from it. Brady, is this a guy that you think has a chance to actually get a two-way spot, or is he maybe the furthest candidate in terms of like being ready to contribute?
I think he's the one guy that can surprise them in training camp out of anybody, just because if that shooting comes along, then they have something. He was just pretty inefficient in the summer league. And obviously they were giving him the green light to take that many shots. I think he was like something close to 3-for-13 in the first game where they trusted him. He's got most starts across summer league. I think the biggest surprise to his game is just how calm he was as a passer. And he was basically running the offense most of the time. Very good in the pick and roll, just making reads. And defensively, obviously he's been very good from college to now. And even in summer league, he was making plays where it makes a lot of sense. But then we get to this point where you're making the case next to Marcus Garrett, you're finding a two-way guy. And it feels like there's a lot of similarities there where you're wondering about the jumper. There's defensive capabilities there. Obviously he can play make a lot better than Marcus Garrett, but it just feels like there's too many similarities. And I think we would have all been confident that Dejan Giroux that went to Indiana would have probably got this second two-way just because he was probably the most talented of the bunch. But I don't know if it made the most sense just because they were so alike with the offensive questions and the defensive capabilities. So we'll kind of see what they do with that. I think he, like I said, I think he can be the one big surprise. If Smart can just show a consistent jumper, show an ability to just score off the dribble, get to the basket, what he did in college. And I feel like it's just a lot. Once again, like Micah Potter, he has a high floor. So I feel like if they want to go with him and just see what happens, they can plug him in there and feel confident that he can. If like, I think it's more of like a Gabe Vincent goes out, you can throw him in there next to Tyler Hero, calm down the offense, just see what he does, and just feed others the ball. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's possible that they can go that route if they choose to.
You buying Javonte Smart, Alex? I don't think I'm there with him. I'm going to be honest with you guys, just from what I've seen. I mean, I think that there is some upside there, but are you feeling it?
Yeah, I might be. So Javonte Smart was somebody who I had higher expectations for coming into summer league just because of how productive he was in his three seasons at LSU. You know, just from what I looked up, you know, going into summer league, and he was a lot more productive as a scorer, right? And that's something that you see a lot, like guys who are high volume scorers, high volume playmakers, high usage players in college, maybe struggle a little bit in summer league when they have to adapt to teams looking for certain systems and they're just not getting the ball as much to playmake. He seems like that type of scorer playmaker, even though he's 6'4", 205, at least what was listed here. And maybe that doesn't fit what people would want. Like we talked about with DJ Stewart kind of having the size to be the wing scorer mold. I think I would rather go with Javonte Smart if I had to pick right now, but that's obviously with not much time seeing him. I just think he's somebody who has more of those scoring capabilities, I think, than Michael Potter or DJ Stewart. Just from what I've seen, I think he has a little bit more potential there to kind of figure that out sooner than later. Like Brady said, because of that shot, you know, he shot 46% from the field in his last season at college and 40 from three. And those percentages, you know, were way, way, way lower in the Heat summer league, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm like stuttering about the whole thing. I don't know. I like his upside. I will say that. But as I look at these guys, the player that I think actually, so there's a couple of things here before we end on this last player that's viable for one of these spots is that the Heat can continue to shuffle in guys in and out of training camp. So don't be surprised if a guy gets cut and a new guy gets added and you never know who they stumble on before a season. There's been players that have been added in that way before. So some of these names could be gone tomorrow and there'll be new ones for us to podcast about. But that's the nature of these Exhibit 10 deals and the way that they can funnel guys into the system, get some guaranteed money in their pockets. Who knows who else we'll see. But the player that I think of any of these guys, if they have the chance to stick, if it isn't DJ Stewart, because like Brady said, they got to him early for a reason. I'm thinking the guy that is in the leader in the clubhouse from my perspective is the next guy we're going to talk about. And that's Drew Smith, 6'3" guard out of Missouri. Another SEC player, as I said earlier, this is a guy that I just think defensively brings some things and played kind of as a lead player. I don't know. I liked the little bit of highlights I watched on YouTube because I'm not going to act like I watched any Missouri basketball last season. Brady, tell me about Drew Smith because he's the guy I'm hearing that they like internally, but that doesn't always equate to a two-way spot because these things move quickly. But what's your take on Drew Smith?
Yeah, to that point, that was pretty much the last guy that they ended up scooping up among the undrafted guys. And when that's the case, it's not usual that he's the starter basically through all of the summer league games. So obviously there was an immediate reaction to him and obvious liking. I think it's pretty similar to Smart in some ways that he was also another guy calmed down the offense, a good passer. They trusted him with the ball in his hands. And to kind of revert back a little bit, DJ Stewart was one of those guys that he was placed off the ball a lot where that's not really his role. And I think that just shows how much they trust a point guard like Drew Smith. And you kind of touched on it before, defensively, he made plays. He could play on the break. He was good on the fast break. And he has a good mid-range game, as we saw in summer league. And I was a little bit surprised by that because he's one of the guys out of all the point guards that had a pretty smooth jumper compared to everybody else we're talking about. And I think that's going to be important. So if he could just shoot the ball well, which he did in summer league, continually just – I think he has the highest floor, I will say. I've said that a couple of times, but I think this guy particularly has the highest floor out of anybody we're talking about just because he doesn't have a true weakness among his game, and he just does a lot of things just good. And I think that's what you need at a two-way. So it just comes down to, once again, the similarities. Do they want to get another type of guard like that next to Marcus Garrett? And I think if there was a year to do it, like I said before, it would be this year just because there's so much front court depth. So it's going to probably – I would probably agree. It's going to come down to probably one of these guys, but I would say Drew Smith or DJ Stewart would be my guess, just down to the two. But obviously I would lean DJ Stewart.
Which way are you leaning, Alex? You buying my Drew Smith hype right here? I mean, I'm not hope trafficking. Let's not say that much about my Drew Smith love here, but he is the leader in the clubhouse for me. What about you?
Look, I would not be mad at that. I really wouldn't. Like, again, just like you, I didn't watch a whole lot of Missouri, just like I didn't watch LSU, just like I didn't watch any of these guys' teams from last year because I'm not a college basketball watcher. I catch up just like a lot of other people on NBA Twitter, catch up to college players before the draft, watch Summer League, you know, consume as much of that as I can. But we can't all be Brady Hawk, you know. But seriously, Drew Smith was the one guy who kind of fits into the – quote unquote true point guard mold, and I'm not one who really ever uses that, but that's just kind of the game that he played out there. Brady went into a little bit there. It's just like he was doing a little bit of everything. He was setting up the offense. I think he was looking less for his shot and more for others than Javonte Smart. Like Javonte clearly was, I think, is built more into that natural scorer mold, even though he can't play make. Drew Smith is more, you know, more Lowry than Javonte Smart is, right? When it comes to just play style and setting up teams and fitting into the offense, you know, he shot a little bit better and more from three in his last season at college. And that part didn't stick out during the Heat Summer League. It was on a much smaller sample, but that's the one thing that I didn't really see much from him that I think could actually easily go back up just from looking at his stats in that last college year. So maybe he's a little bit better of a shooter than he showed. I like what he did as a playmaker, like what he did as a defender. He just seemed like a smart player. And you saying that he might be the second spot, I really don't hate that, man. Like, I think, like I said before, they could use the guard depth. And if they feel that he really is that type of guard that you could just kind of plug and play a few minutes, it's I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, a lot of these guys, and I think that's kind of what we've come to find out here, they're all appealing for different reasons, and he could kind of use depth at different positions and different molds of players. So most of these guys I wouldn't be mad at. Maybe Michael Potter, but
right. I know it feels like a lot of people say that. You know, it's funny, as you were talking about
Omer better, you know,
about summer league and watching these guys, like it occurred to me, like, isn't it a little ridiculous, like just a little ridiculous to form an opinion and make a judgment on what a player can be or do for a team after watching like 6 to 8 kind of
absolutely
haphazardly officiated and coached, depending on what team is you're playing against. You know, like I just feel like there's so much more that goes into this behind the scenes that we can never see, that there's almost probably elements of this that this is just we're being gas bags to a degree, and they're watching them in a way that I don't know how much summer league, unless you really blow up, how much that necessarily changes. I'm interested in, either of you guys can jump in here, do you think that what actually happens in summer league and like your stat line in summer league is something that carries as much weight as maybe fans place the emphasis on? I'll go to either of you, whoever dives into it.
I think it's probably a percentage, right? Like, I think they probably, obviously, of course, they look at what they did in college, but summer league is like their introduction to these guys. But then you really see them in training camp and preseason, and I would bet that that stuff matters to them more than summer league. I mean, I obviously don't know, but to me, that's where they really get a good look at guys and what they do competitively, because that's when they get into that training camp mode and everybody's going hard, and you know, you just got an extended look at them throughout that time there. And even though preseason, you know, there's guys shuffling in and out, I think that's just kind of when they're going to be, by that point, they're going to know who they like better, right? And I think summer league is just kind of going to be in a distant past at that point.
Do you think it's going to be all the way to the preseason, Brady, before we know who the last two-way spot is? Is it going to take preseason action for them to make this decision?
If I had to just predict it right now, I would probably say it would come right before preseason. I think that they're going to get a good idea after training camp. To add on to what Alex was saying, I think summer league in a lot of ways is just like a meet and greet. Like they have Malik Allen out there just kind of getting an idea of how these players are. He was talking good about a couple of them, you know, and with media after these games. And it just seems like it's more about understanding how they are as players. And as you're saying, I think it's more about the practices probably during summer league than the actual games, just kind of see their games, how they go about things, because obviously the Heat look at things a little bit differently. But if I had to guess, I would probably say right before preseason, they kind of see what happens in training camp. Obviously players always come out of training camp after and with Miami and say, it's always different. So it's always coming down to how these type of players react to it. And I think these guys that they've got up that were talked about in this podcast are guys that fit that type of mold, because they're tough. They're gritty defensively. That's why they got these type of guys. And, you know, obviously they'll make their judgment from there.
Yeah, I'm expecting a heated battle into preseason, and only the biggest of Heat fans in terms of watching every bounce and every basket will be watching this final match, you know, like between these guys for the two-way spot. But we'll definitely have our eyes glued, and Drew Smith is my pick. there. Thank you guys for going through all that stuff. We're going to end on a good note though, because this is something that came off of the weekend. There was a lot of football going on, particularly Miami Hurricanes bad football. And right around that same time, Chris Bosh gave one of the best Hall of Fame speeches I had ever heard. And, you know, I don't necessarily go out of my way to find those, but when it's guys like CB, I'm definitely listening. And there was a particular story that plucked the heartstrings of Heat fans like myself. So I wanted to play that here on the show, and just we'll get a reaction before we cut out.
You know, with Ray, he's been a great teammate and a great friend. And best of all, he made the game six shots. So, you know, that's great. And man, you know, Pat Riley, when I first met Pat, I was 19 years old interviewing for the draft. And I remember being so nervous. Even my family members were always starstruck every time they see him. And we've had tremendous experiences together. And in honor of everything, I actually have a gift for you. For some context, when I met Pat during free agency in 2010, he pulled out every trick, you know, and it was quite the performance. And as I was starting to stand up to leave from the meeting, he pulled out one last trick. He took out this velvet bag full of championship rings and dumped them all across the table. And he picked one up, you know, and he looked me dead in my eye and he said, "You give it back to me when we win one together." Now, when I think about it, it was crazy because I hadn't even agreed to sign with Miami. But that's Pat, you know, and we did win a ring together, two of them. But I never gave back the one he loaned me because, you know, for whatever reason, I wanted to wait till the right moment. And, you know, I figured this would be a good moment.
Yeah. So, yo, as a lifelong Heat fan, I got to tell you guys, like, that's one of the best moments. And, you know, I've been cataloging this stuff for a long time, guys. Like, that particular story and the way it was delivered to close out the Hall of Fame speech, to give back the championship ring, that was such an epic story when it happened. To me, it was the dopest thing that happened all weekend, inclusive of the Miami Dolphins victory on the road in New England. I love that story. If any of you guys have a reaction to it, feel free to dive in, but that's okay if you don't, because I knew that it was worth closing out at least here. Any of you guys have anything on this? It was just for CB to close it out by giving the ring back to Pat, Alex, Brady, like, could it have gone any better?
Yeah, I think we always talk about him off the floor before anything. And I think that was the definition of Chris Bosh off the floor, just giving a speech like that. Great speaker, knows how to deliver, and just relates everything back to the guy standing next to him on stage, Pat Riley. It just, everything that everybody always talks about with Chris Bosh, the funny things, jumping up on post-game interviews, obviously staying locked in on the floor, but obviously it ended a little bit early, but moving past it and being able to just develop so many things off the floor and be able to deliver that thing in the end, it just felt like such a lead up, and it was kind of the definition of everything we always talk about.
Chris Bosh is awesome. That was a great, like, way to sum up just a cool, charismatic guy he's been ever since he got to Miami, specifically the type of guy he was while he was here. I mean, seeing it all come full circle with that story, with that moment of him giving back the ring, because that was always kind of a question going through my head. Like, every time you hear that story, it's like, wait, so did he ever give back? Like, they won two titles. Did he ever give it back?
Which one do you think he gave him? Like, one of, like, the old Lakers rings that he, like, kind of doesn't even remember which championship it was?
I'm going to say 06. But, you're thinking it was, like, one of the original ones, one of the ones that he's like, yeah.
I think he wears 06 on a regular basis. Like, that's the Godfather ring right there, truthfully. But I could be wrong about that. But I think 06 stays on the finger on a regular basis. But, yeah, anyway, thank you for tuning into this episode as we went through the two-way guys and ended on some Chris Bosh, Pat Riley stories. Ethan will be back the rest of the week. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.